Okay, this Verbringen, the Rebbe gave many talks, and he gave a discourse. Let's go to the discourse now, and God willing, if we finish discourse, we'll go further down the Verbringen. But after this first talk, the Rebbe began this discourse on the words in this additional Torah portion this week. This month shall be for you ahead of all months, the first of the months of the year. Month of Nisan is considered the head of the months, the first of the months of the year. It's known the question that Rabbi Rashab, whose anniversary of passing is on the second of Nisan, in a discourse that starts with the very same words. We need to understand the first day of Tishrei, that's when Rosh Hashanah is. The first day of Tishrei includes within it the energy of the entire year.
Sorry, what page is
that? Page 5. Hey, how are you? So the first of Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah, that day includes the energy of the entire year. And that's why we call it the head of the year. Just like the head contains within it the energy of the body, so too Rosh Hashanah contains within it the energy of the entire year. And later the energy gets subdivided into 12 Rosh Chodeshes. In other words, the first Rosh Hashanah is the day that contains within it the entire energy for the entire year. And then from there it's subdivided into 12 parts in the 12 Rosh Chodesh days of the year. In each Rosh Chodesh, it contains within it the energy for the entire month. So it comes out, Rosh Hashanah is the head and the beginning of all the months of the year. So why does it say in this verse that the first of the month of Nisan, that's the head of all months? Which one is it? Is it Rosh Hashanah? Or is it the first day of Nisan? So we could explain this. We could explain why the Rebbe Rashab, before answering the question, the Rebbe analyzes the Rebbe Rashab's words. The Rebbe Rashab says that the month energy is contained within the Rosh Chodesh of every month, and Rosh Hashanah contains within it the energy of the entire year. And then gets subdivided in the various Rosh Chodesh days of the year for each month. So Rebbe's question is, why does the Rebbe Rashab mention this point? His point is to ask a question, why is Rosh Chodesh Nisan singled out as a unique day when we have Rosh Hashanah? So the question is, why is it pertinent to this point to mention that each day of Rosh Chodesh contains within it the energy of that month? So the answer is that Rosh Hashanah is not just the head of the year, it's also the head of the months of the year. Rosh Hashanah is also the source of every Rosh Chodesh. And therefore the question is, what is unique about Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also included, it seems, in Rosh Hashanah of Tishrei. And it's also included in Rosh Hashanah. So why are we calling the first of Nisan the head of the months of the year? So if misunderstood, the fact that we do call it the head of the months of the year, that there are actually two things, because both things are said in the Torah of truth, therefore they must be both are true, that there is one element, there's one angle, there's one facet, there's one aspect in which Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is the head of the year. And not only is it the head of the year, it's also the head of the months of the year. And in addition to this, there's another point, there's another element in which Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the head of the months of the year. And we know this, the proof that there is such a thing, that there is something added in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is from the passage in the Talmud that we learned yesterday. Once Hashem chose the world, once Hashem chose to have a world, He chose to give the world Rosh Chodesh, chose to give the world to divide the time in months with Rosh Chodesh and years. And once He chose the Jewish people, He gave them Rosh Chodesh al Gula. He gave them Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That means that there is something about Hashem choosing the world, and then when He chose the world, He gave the world Rosh Chodesh. That's relevant to Rosh Hashanah. That's when He chose to make a world, He chose to give the world Rosh Hashanah. And there's another thing that Hashem chose. He chose the Jewish people. He chose Yaakov and his children. And when he chose Yaakov and his children, then he gave them the Rosh Chodesh of redemption. He gave them Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So there's two different things. There's something Hashem gave the world when he made the world. Something new that Hashem introduced when he chose the Jewish people. So we need to understand what are these two things. We also need to understand what the Talmud mentions in the Medrash, and Rashi quotes in his very first commentary in the Torah. Rabbi Yitzchok said the Torah should have not begun with the story of creation. The Torah should have begun with the first mitzvah. What's the first mitzvah? The first mitzvah that Hashem gave the Jewish people as a whole was the mitzvah of having of sanctifying the months of the year in Parshas HaChodesh. The Torah should have begun with HaChodesh HaZelachem, with the mitzvah Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu to sanctify the month of Nisan. That should have been the beginning of the Torah. Why does Hashem start with the story of creation? In order that we should be able to respond to the Gentiles who say that we are thieves for taking the land of Israel, and we should respond to them and say the whole world belongs to Hashem, He created it, and He gave the world to whoever is befitting in His eyes. So we need to understand. That's a different subject. I think that first of all, you have to answer the goy within yourself, and you have to know yourself that you're not
accepted.
But the question here is why? How does what Rashi says fit with this? With this passage of the Medrash. The Medrash says that there's two things. There's Hashem choosing the world, and Hashem choosing Yaakov and his children. And these two things correspond to the two concepts in creation. Rabbi Yitzchak is saying the Torah should have begun with the first mitzvah. Why does it start with the story of creation? So how does this fit with the teaching of the Medrash about these two things? Hashem chose the world, Hashem chose Yaakov and his children. Since they're two different things, there is Hashem creating the world. There is a story of creation. And then there is something else. There is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which is associated with the Jewish people. They're two different things. Not only are they two different things, they're opposite things. Because what's the concept of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, Rosh Chodesh of redemption? The idea of redemption is that you're departing from the situation you were before to one that's completely the opposite. You're going from slavery to redemption. You're going from deep darkness to a great light. That's the exact opposite of creation. Creation is about, in my own words, I guess, it's about creating the limitations of creation, the physical world. It's about the trajectory in creation. It's not about departure from the world, it's about making the limitations of creation. So why does Rabbi Yitzchak say that the Torah should have begun with the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZelachem? And he asks, why does it begin with Bereishis? And so Rabbi Yitzchak says the Torah's essence is about HaChodesh HaZelachem. And yet the Torah begins with the opposite thing. The Torah talks about Bereishis. Since these are two opposite things, why is there such a conversation that we, in other words, these two concepts are completely, they're diametrically opposed. Either we're talking about creation or we're talking about redemption. So why is there this discussion like we don't know? It's not like we don't know A or B. It's we don't know if going north or south. We don't know what we're doing b'chlal in the Torah. So in other words, we're clearly making a delineating between Rosh Chodesh Nissan and Rosh Hashanah, and we're saying they're two different things. There's creation and there's redemption. And yet, Rabbi Yitzchak, in the beginning of the Torah, he is there's a deliberation, which one should we start the Torah with? It sounds like that there's these two things are in the same category, and we have to choose one over the other when these two things are completely the opposite of each other. So how is there this? What's the basis of this discussion Where should we choose one or the other? Should we go north or south? Where is that coming from? To understand this by first prefacing another question about the language of the Medrash. The Medrash says when Hashem chose the world, He then chose that there should be Rosh Chodesh. When Hashem and years, and when Hashem chose Yaakov and his children, then He chose to give them the Rosh Chodesh of redemption and Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Then the Medrash emphasizes that these are both things that Hashem chose. What's the meaning and nuance of the word choice? The explanation is, a choice is only relevant in a place where there is no preference, where there's no leaning towards anything. A free choice means that you're not forced at anything. This is also the concept called yocheles. Yocheles means ability. It says about Hashem that Hashem has the ability to give light and His ability not to give light. Hashem has the ability to conceal. Hashem has the ability to reveal. And they're both equal options to Hashem. So at the level of Yecholas, when we're talking about the Yecholas HaAtzmos, Hashem's ability, Hashem is not leaning towards one or the other. There's no affinity of one or the other. And the reason why Hashem did create these two areas of limitation and the infinite, or lower, Hashem created in a lower context, the same concept, there is nature and there are miracles. There is also Hashem choosing the world and Hashem choosing Yaakov and his children.
Wouldn't that be something of way above our understanding, capacity of understanding? Because when we make decisions,
we always make them to our
advantage. We make them to, for something. There's a reason.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Small or big, do we see it or not see it, if you look at it. So it seems to me that the ability to say that Hashem created the world, but it didn't make a difference, is not something we can comprehend. It's just that Hashem has got nothing else to do.
Hashem choosing to create the world. I mean, Alter Rebbe says that all explanations we can give for creation are not sufficient because
right.
Hashem created logic. But the main point here is that whatever we choose something, right? So there's we have parameters of the way we think, the way we feel, the way we desire, and we're going to choose whatever fits into those parameters. The idea of a free choice, that you're not forced, is foreign because we're predisposed to choose one over the other. Because
if you see something that's equal, supposedly, and you're going to say, I'm going to choose whatever, at that point you're going to look at the item, whatever it is, and come up with reasons why you're choosing whatever it is you're choosing. It just seems to me, I don't think it makes change to what you're saying, but it just seems to me that that's one of the things that's, that the Rambam talks about, is just way above our understanding, capacity of understanding.
There's two concepts in choice. One concept of choice is a practical choice. Is it vanilla or is it chocolate? Then there is the real deeper meaning of free choice, which is that you are. By the way, here's my audio. That you're free to choose it. Mimer. Okay. You're free to choose. One is that you actually have two options. The other is that you are free to choose. That there's nothing drawing you one direction or the other. So only at a level where there is no parameters can you talk about free choice. Otherwise, you are forced. You are guided by your persona, by your ego, by your mind, your heart, whatever parameters it is. You're going to choose chocolate or vanilla. But that's what I was saying. Only at a level which is beyond all parameters, beyond all limitations, can we talk about free choice. And at this level, Hashem chose Yaakov and his children. Hashem chose the world. So, because Hashem is perfect, therefore there are both areas. Not only does Hashem have infinity, but Hashem is perfect, He must have also the ability to be finite. As Chassidus quotes the Aveis HaKadosh often, Aveis HaKadosh says, just like Hashem has a power to be infinite, so too does He have the power to be finite. If you say He only has a power to be infinite, you're saying He has a flaw. You're saying He's not perfect. So the higher the perfection is, there is more of a union between the infinite and the finite. The greater perfection that we're talking about, the more perfect, the different levels of the entire spiritual cosmos. But when we're talking about perfection, the more perfect something is, the more of a fusion and convergence there is between the finite and the infinite. Why do we look at finite and infinite as the opposites? Look at them as opposites. In other words, what was our question before? We were asking before about the Rabbi Yitzchak, and it seems like there's two different subjects here, and we should choose one or the other, and that the two choices are completely different, either talking about creation or talking about redemption. For example, they're very different from each other. Nature and infinite and miracles, they're different from each other when you're not at the level of perfection. The level of perfection, they're both complement each other. And the more deeper the perfection is, the more they are the same. Because they're both about, they're not about infinite, they're not about finite, they're about Hashem's perfection. So this will help us understand the Hashem's perfection is creation?
Any description you're going to have is a creation. Our perspective... Perfection is a limited item too.
We believe Hashem is perfect.
Right.
That's part of our emunah. Our emunah says Hashem is perfect. So what perfect means, we could give descriptions of what perfect means. But... definitely, we know that perfect is not deficient. So the Veis HaKodesh is saying you cannot say Hashem is deficient. So when you're looking at finite and infinite, you know that they're not different things because they're both about Hashem's perfection. So that's the meaning why the Medrash uses the expression Hashem chose the world that although the world
it'll be the same thing. Finite and infinite
are the same.
Perfect and imperfect is all the same.
Maybe a better way of looking at it is thinking that Hashem could have made the world with no choice. Everything was just perfect. That wouldn't have been a perfect world. You had to have good and evil.
It is perfect. From your perception, it's not perfect.
The Eibishter...
The world is made and has good and evil in it.
The Eibishter is not deficient.
No.
So just because we don't know everything about the Eibishter... and whatever we know is negligible, but we know the Eibishter is perfect. So we know what he's not. We know he's not efficient. So when Chassidus says that the Eibishter must have limitation, or basically Hashem must have limitation, it's based upon knowing that the Eibishter is perfect. He doesn't have deficiencies. So at that point, the finite is also infinite. In other words, the finite is not different than the infinite. When the Veis, that's how Chassidim. Rabiel's father heard from Rabbi Simcha or another Chassid. He's that when the Avodah Zarah says that just like Hashem has infinity, also has a power to be finite. That means that the finite is also infinite. The finite is not just finite. The finite is also part of the infinite. It's part of Hashem's infinite perfection. So this is the meaning of the words of the Medrash. When Hashem chose the world, what's the meaning of Hashem choosing the world? Although the world is a place of concealment, the word world means concealment, the world is about, the essence of the world is about limitation. Nevertheless, since Hashem chose it, and from the perspective of a choice, so infinite and finite are the same, they're both included, and they're both connected to each other. And therefore, there is also infinity in creation as well. Because it's Hashem's choice, at the level of choice, there is no distinction between the finite and the infinite, therefore, they are the world which was chosen by Hashem also has infinite, because the world's being finite is a result of Hashem choosing to make it finite. And that place which chose to make the world finite, that place that chose Hashem, the world to be finite, is also is not bound by anything, and at that level, finite and infinite are the same. So therefore, the world chosen by Hashem, the world that Hashem chose to make in a way of concealment, is not really a place of concealment. There's also infinity there as well. It's coming from a place where there is no distinction between the finite and the infinite. This is also connected to what we learned in the last Maimer about Chukos Shemayim Varetz. The last Maimer we learned last week, we learned that Hashem, remember the words, Hashem engraved the heaven and earth? We asked last week, in the Maimer we learned, why do we use the word engraving in regards to creating heaven and earth? The word engraving is meant to express how something is not distinct, meaning like when you write on paper, so the ink and the paper are two separate entities, they're just connected. When you engrave letters on a stone, the letters become one with the stone. So the Medrash uses the expression that the heaven and earth were engraved, which is meant to express how heaven and earth are one with Hashem, they're not a separate entity. So we asked in the Maimer last week, how could we say that about the world that it's in a state of engraving, it's one with its divine core? It doesn't seem to be the one, it seems to be very separate from its divine core. So the answer is, because the world comes from Hashem's choice, so the world also has within it the infinite. The world has within it, it's hidden, but the world also has a level of, also has this concept of being engraved, being one with its divine core. In other words, we're going to see more of Hashem, but for right now, let's say it this way. The place that made the world finite is not finite. And it's not infinite either. It's beyond them both. And therefore, when Hashem chose to make the world finite, it's not the borders aren't hard and fast. It's coming from a place of choice. At the level of choice, finite and infinite are the same. And therefore, the world chosen by Hashem is not specific, is not limited to only being finite, being separated. What this means is, let's try to read through the next paragraph. What this means is that although the concept of the infinite is not seen openly, as we just mentioned, that the word world means concealment, and that's what the word nature means. Nature means submerged. Like it says in the Pasuk, the gates of the temple were Tavu, they were submerged in the earth. The word nature, teva, comes from the word submerged. But through meditating, you could reach and understand that there is infinity in the world as well. Externally, the world runs in a way of nature. And what does nature mean? Nature means that the divine energy within it is submerged, you don't see it. However, through meditating, you could realize that there's something infinite in the world. That means, by thinking about the fact that the celestial beings are as strong as the day Hashem made them. So you could see the infinity in nature. Because every limited thing has to decay, has to have some kind of, as time goes on, it has to slow, it has to lose something. As in the language of Rabbeinu Bachaye, he says that when a baby is born, it begins to already wither the moment the baby is born. The fact the baby is changing, although it looks like it's growing, externally it's growing, yes, but it's also beginning to die, Chas v'Shalom. So every limited thing has a beginning and has an end. And the fact that we see that the celestial beings are as strong as the day Hashem made them, that they don't even have the beginning of any kind of loss, this shows that they have something infinite within them. And although a person cannot understand something infinite, that as much as we can imagine eternity, it's whatever picture we have of eternity, it's still limited, because whatever man can understand is limited. But nevertheless, since we see that the celestial beings are as strong as a day Hashem made them, so we see something infinite. And more, we come to a greater recognition that we can realize that it's something which is not only infinite, it's beyond infinite. Because in order that there should be a connection of the finite and the infinite, the nature, the parameters of nature is, in other words, the sun, the celestial beings, they themselves, which are limited beings, they have something infinite within them. So there's something infinite within the confines of nature. That what allows that to happen, it must be something that, which is not only infinite, it must come from the essence of Hashem, who for Hashem, as Rashba says, it's impossible to say impossible. That means it's beyond infinite and beyond finite. And that's why you can connect them both. And that's the meaning of the words, when Hashem chose the world, that because Hashem chose the world, that means that the world, the limitation of creation, has in it, there is in the confines of the limitation of creation, there is something of Hashem's choice. There's something of Hashem's ability. And that's why there could be in creation itself, the infinite, there could be the convergence of the finite and the infinite, because it comes from Hashem's choice. So the example I was giving is celestial beings that we see within them this convergence of the finite and the infinite. But it's just an example of all of creation, that all of creation is from Hashem's choice, and therefore the parameters of creation aren't hard and fast. And there is within the finite, the infinite. We'll stop here.
Okay. So what we're dancing around.